get 85% or above and you don't send their portfolios out?
Yes.
Maybe we could try on them.
Yeah, the above, the 85%?
Yeah, I have those electronic portfolios.
You know, that's a possibility too. I mean, I know the one thing that we had talked about with our portfolio system was to not have the students that are above the 85%. I mean, the major reason for that was to eliminate the stress of, you know, your A and B students having to go through it. So I don't know. I mean, we don't have to stay with that system. You know, if people say, well, I want every student evaluated, we definitely could do that.
No, I'm just saying that the one...
Just to test it?
They could do an electronic portfolio since you're not going to pass it around anyway.
I see what you're saying for like a pilot. Yeah, I mean, that might be a good way to try it. Yeah, and I mean, this semester, mm-hmm. if you guys want to do it that way with just our top students, we could also do that. Mm-hmm. Because technically in every class, all of your students should still be doing a portfolio because it's at that end of the semester where you're looking at it to decide, well, who's above, who's below, you know, where is the student? So that's actually a really good idea because there's nothing at stake for these students. You know, if we swap the portfolios, if one doesn't open, if something doesn't work, it doesn't matter. You know, they're still going to get the grade that they were assigned in the class. So it's not a half bad idea. So maybe like the three of us could talk about it. If anybody else wants to get in on it and try it, they can. I mean, we're going to use the content system on Blackboard if anybody else is familiar and wants to give it a go.
Well, I know how to use it.
You know, do you want to get in on it and do it with us this semester? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, we'll talk because what I was going to do with our students, I thought, I don't know how much you guys talked with them about the portfolio process right at the very beginning. I mean, I know a lot of us the first week of class will mention it and talk about, you know, how they're evaluated, that kind of thing, but not get into the specifics till it becomes a little bit more relevant. So maybe the four of us can get together and just kind of talk about that a little bit, maybe get some literature together to just give them something so they understand how their process might be a little bit different. So, and that would be for that above the 85%. Because you're saying that everybody below that would go through a paper process, just like...
Well, the reason I was saying that mm-hmm. is that we didn't... I mean, I have this pile of portfolios that I've already read, so I'm not really looking at them.
Right.
You know, and I'm thinking we could save a lot of paper by just doing that electronically.
Yeah, that's actually... Yeah. Okay, well, let's look at that because I think that's a good idea to cut down on it because that's the main reason if you're kind of wondering, like, why we're going to electronic portfolios. For me, it is the paper. I mean, that would be the number one thing. It's just, you know, a sheer waste every semester because, you know, we always have these students print out clean copies and, you know, we have tons of drafts in there and all that. So, I mean, that would be the number one reason. But the other thing about it is that I think, and if you want to say more about this when we start looking mm-hmm. at your portfolios, after I looked at Judith's, I think I had everybody in your class, correct?
Mm-hmm. Or,
yeah, I had everybody because I looked through several of them. They're more fun, and the one thing that I really like about them is that you can kind of tell when students get the paper portfolio together for us. Some of them take a lot of pride in their work and, you know, make it really nice. Some of them kind of treat it as like a punishment, like you had to make me do it, but I'm not going to put it in a nice folder for you and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, and hers, I really could tell that even the weaker students really tried to make it a little bit better. I mean, the effort was there. So, I don't know. I think it's something interesting. And, you know, if it doesn't work, we can go back. Because if you look at the way that things are arranged, like if you go to the paper portfolio, we give them a way to arrange the portfolio. You know, we all have to do it the same way. Well, on there, they do have a way to arrange it. And I think you gave them really clear directions.
Yeah, I'll show you all that.
They looked really similar.
And I'll show you one of the weaker students and what she came up with.
Yeah. Okay.
And how it was wonderful, and she was one of the weaker students.
Yeah, I mean,
who didn't know how to do anything.
Right, and it's hard to, you have to really get in there and look at the quality of the writing to see where they're different there, but just in the presentation and some of these other things that are like the non-tangible things that we're trying to teach in this class. I mean, we're trying to teach them about rhetorical situation and all these other things, you know, that are part of rhetoric and composition, and you know, some of them get it and some of them don't. And that doesn't mean some of them are going to be better writers. I mean, you know, at the end of the semester, you're still going to have weaker writers. But I don't know. I think there's something there that's worth exploring. And if it doesn't work, you know, we can go back to paper. So this is not like it's going to happen forever and we'll never do paper again. I don't know that. I don't know how it'll work.
I think at least most of my students, both of my sections are laptop sections. So I think they really like not having to print everything out.
Mm-hmm.
But Terry, I like your idea, but personally, I'm not sure. I'd have to think about how I would pitch that in class, say, okay, you all who are doing well, now you have to go and put together an electronic thing where it doesn't look like people are...
I mean, basically, they have it. I mean, they have the guts of it already.
Yeah.
It's just the dressing that they have to...
Yeah.
to do
the arrangement.
Right. Yeah, and that might be something to look at. I mean, the other thing is, I don't know about you guys, but I probably will just have mine all do it electronic. That's and then the above 85%, you know, they technically will still get the reward that they don't have to be peer evaluated, but the below the 85% would just go through a regular read. And we can talk about how that'll happen. Mm-hmm. This last time around, Judith and I looked at you only had one student below 85% that needed a read because she had the honors 206 section. So it was a good way to test it because I just read that one student. But now we're going to have issues about how to share them with each other. And we can kind of talk about how that works. And you can show them when you open your stuff up. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that might be another thing that if we're only sharing the ones that are weak, that kind of eliminates adding all those other students to the pile of potential reads. But
the other thing with Dave, I mean, since we're just kind of testing the waters, we could just tell the students, you know, you have this option.
Oh.
That you could turn in electronically.
You could still turn in paper if you really want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that because we may end up having students that are uncomfortable with a digital portfolio. And that's one of the things, like I know in my English 107 class, I actually had them make a web page to kind of test out some of these things because since they are 107 students, they had enough old papers to fill their portfolio.
Right.
So I had time that I could do something digital with them. And the only thing that they said negative about it was that if you're already struggling with writing, how are you going to learn how to do these technology things? And so I don't know if I have a good answer for that yet. I mean, and that's why I thought, like, Nikki's got her one thing, and Chris is going to show up, and then Judith's got hers. So I don't know if you want to say something.
I was going to add, are you doing this in 107? You have the section.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would just recommend if you're writing some directed hat that you maybe have invite or require the tutor to be there when you're going over the things with the student. If they come to the writing center,
yeah,
they already are up on it.
I'm doing that too now.
Yeah, okay.
I just have a straight 106, that would be a good.
You know, if they're particular tutors, or just you can put out. I can send it to all the tutors if they're interested. But I know I have assigned a certain tutor, and I can't remember who it is. It's on the schedule, so I can get that to you.
Yeah, well, and you can.
Theirs budgeted just for 107.
Wonderful. Well, you gave me an idea too, because I actually had not thought about the tutoring piece. Because if we have these technology projects, mm-hmm. I mean, fortunately on campus, we do have that Student Technology Center here. Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned this to you guys before, that it's like a writing center, but for technology stuff for undergrads. So we can send them there for that part of the process. But you do have the problem with the tutors that maybe they're going to be looking at some of these technology projects that they're just in an unfamiliar kind of way. You know,
that's like
yeah.
this huge building where we can have STC and writing center all together.
I wish, yes.
That's my dream.
In our dreams. Yeah. So, right after the business building's built. I'm sorry. But yeah, that's definitely something with the writing mm-hmm. tutors. I had not even considered that piece. So this is, you know, kind of new for me. And that's why, at least for today, I thought, let me turn it over to you guys to show some stuff on the screen. I'm going to have Nikki go first and show us one assignment that she gave. So I don't know if you want to give us some background on what it was, how they did it, you know, that kind of thing, and then show it. And then I just want to get your responses, you know, is it, you know, what's your first impression? Is this meeting some of the 106 requirements, assuming that this kind of stuff is not replacing the papers? It's just one option that you could do for one of the papers. So if you want to think about it in that context.
And
yeah.
That's how it was. And I actually have two because they're short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely show
so
us.
I'm just going to show two if
uh-huh.
that's okay.
Yeah.
This is the first one, and we'll experiment with the second one, which you've seen. This is
mm-hmm.
But this is the assignment, so I'll pass that around.
Oh, great. Thanks for bringing it.
A lot of stuff is just for the students. The main thing for you all to know is it is not, does not take the place of any major paper. I usually do a group project in 106, and so I use this for the group project because I've always done that because it gives them another type of, well, it taps into different types of learning styles, obviously. We don't have to go into all the value of that. But it just gives them opportunity to practice in this medium what they're going to be doing in the paper. They have to make the transfer, but some of the skills are the same. So actually, it was Christine and Chris, one of your 4Cs or something, you talked about doing PSAs.
Yeah, the public service announcements, and I know that Chris Deniker does that, and she's done it in 104 even, mm-hmm. so yeah.
So I had to do that as a group to come up with a public service announcement about sleep. So they had to decide that probably you're going to enjoy them more than the papers about sleep, I'm sure, because first of all, they're only 30 to 60 seconds. But they were supposed to, as a group, come up with a focus, because sleep is a fairly broad topic, just as they're supposed to do for the paper. They're supposed to think about their audience, just as they're supposed to do for the paper. And I would say you're supposed to come up with to your group with three different statistics or something like that, as they might be able to use and cross-apply in their paper. You're saying, as I've seen Haskell. And then they presented them to the class, and then they were supposed to write up individually. They was writing sort of a rhetorical analysis of, well, what strategies, I mean, why did you make the choices that you did with the PSAs? And then share that with the class, and then maybe, again, the class could glean something from that, that, again, that they could apply to the paper. One of the things that I did have them all do is fill out the model release form in case they were in the PSA. Now, this first one, they aren't in. So does anybody have any questions about that? I meant to say right before I got started that one of the things I did this last semester that I don't have an assignment sheet for, but it's somewhat multimodal, I guess, is I sent a podcast of some of my comments to my students, because I've been told my handwriting is illegible. And so that helped. So there's a little experimentation with that. So let's see if I can get this to work. This is in the DVD.
Is there a button on the
There we go.